that we have the opportunity to be together today, to be together with one another, but to be together with you. You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but we invite and welcome and acknowledge your presence. In so doing, we allow you to impact and influence in this place, in us, and then through us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today, I want to talk about salvation and identity. Salvation and identity. And there's a whole lot of different things that you could talk about. But we will go ahead and get into this. First thing I want to mention is salvation is necessary because we were not right with God. And the reason we were not right with God is a three-letter word in the English language, sin. All are sinners outside of Christ. All are deserving of eternal separation from the source of life, which is God. And all are without the ability to change their condition. You could put all of the combined might and strength and wisdom of all creation together and can't save one person. But Jesus came that we might have life. So I want to go ahead and get into the scriptures. So we'll begin in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, for all have sinned, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. He establishes very quickly that all have sinned. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And then in that same chapter, Romans 5, verse 6, it says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. He mentions utterly helpless. That's how all of humanity is without Christ. As I said, all the combined might, strength, and wisdom of all of creation together couldn't save even one person. And then in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So he provided salvation because we needed salvation. He had promised it and he supplied it, and it is for everyone who will believe. Now, I want to go now to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19. And it says here, may you experience the love of Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about, that you may experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And that's what we want to talk about. When we talk about salvation, it is experiencing the love of Christ and being made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's salvation. That's what he has supplied us with. That's what he has supplied us with. And then in Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, it says here, he was handed over to die because of our sins. He didn't die for his own. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, it says, we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. It was for us. He was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. He made us right with God, that is, to those who receive Jesus as their Lord. And then in John chapter 3, John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. For this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now, everyone who believes in him will never perish but experience everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, but to be its Savior and rescue it. So now, there is no longer any condemnation for those who believe in him. But the unbeliever already lives under condemnation because they do not believe in the name of God's beloved Son. And here is the basis for their judgment. The light of God has come into the world, but the hearts of people love their darkness more than light because they want to the darkness to conceal their evil. God loved us so much, we could not save ourselves, and Jesus came and died in our place. He died in our place. And what happens is, we are then made right with God. The King James, the old King James, uses the word righteousness, and you'll find that in most translations. And God Himself made us righteous with His own righteousness. We are made right with God as we are made one with God, and we are actually made of God Himself. The very essence of God comes into us. It's what we call life. It is the very nature and the life of God. So in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, it actually talks about this. It says, "For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one." Now, what this is talking about is the one who makes us right with God, that's Jesus, and the ones who are made right with God, that's us, are all of one. They're all of one source. Many translations put it that way, or they are all of one Father. We are all of one. We are all of Him. For which cause He, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren. And He talks about this in the 17th chapter of John. He talks about this a lot. So we're going to look at a few verses in that. And in John chapter 17 and verse 11. Excuse me. John chapter 17 and verse 11. He says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." That they may be one as we are. So He said that Jesus came so that we could be made one with the Father exactly like He is. We can be made one with the Father. In the 15th chapter, and I don't have this in my notes, but in the 15th chapter of John, He says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman," or the one who takes care of the vine. And then He says later on in that same chapter, He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." We've been grafted into Him. We've been made one with God the Son. And in so doing, we've been made one with God the Father. So then in the same John chapter 17 again, verses 20 through 23. He says, "I do not pray for these alone." Now this, Jesus is actually in the 17th chapter of John praying. He's praying for us. He says, "I don't pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word." That's us. Jesus Himself was praying for us in this section of Scripture. He says, "I don't pray for these alone," for the disciples that were with Him at that moment alone. He says, "I don't pray for them alone. I pray for all those who will believe on me through their name." And then in verse 21, "that they may be one, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one," perfectly united together with God in one, "and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved, and you have loved them as you have loved me." He says here, that we may be made one in the exact same way that He was one. So, when we're born again, we're more than just forgiven sinners. That's not who we are anymore. We're made new creatures. But not only that, we have been made one with God. Now, there's an amazing thing here. Jesus mentioned in this section of Scripture, He said, "The glory that you've given me, I've given them that they may be one as we are one." In the book of Isaiah, He mentions twice. He says, "My glory I will not give to another." And yet here He says, "The glory you've given me, the very glory of God, I've given to them." How can that be? Because when He says, "My glory I will not give to another," and then He says, "The glory you've given me, I've given them," He says that because we're not another anymore. We're not separate from Him. We've been made one with Him. Am I God? No. But I've been made one with God. And that's what salvation is all about. It's being made one with God. Now, the opposite of this oneness with God, I want to give you a verse, and again, out of the book of John. It's John chapter 8 and verse 47. And this is really the opposite of that very thing. I just want to touch on this. He says in John 8 and verse 47, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear them because you are not of God." When we're born again, we're made one with Him. But before that, we were not. We were separate. We were separate. And we were not His, but now we are. So salvation is the most beautiful, wonderful gift that God has given to humanity. Nothing even comes close to that. Because we're talking about eternal life, not just temporary. We're talking about life with Him, being made one with God for eternity. It is the most beautiful, wonderful thing that can take place, is we're made right with God. We're made one with God. It's amazing. But then I kind of want to shift gears, and I want to talk a little bit about identity. Identity is an issue. And we want to look at this because there are certain people, as I make some statements about this, and then I'll support this with Scripture, there are certain people that think, well, God just has to take me. He has to do it on my terms, and He has to do it my way, and I'll be whoever I want to be. That's just simply not true. That's just simply not true. New life is not merely about praying some prayer and poof, like some magic incantation, I'm suddenly right with God where I can live as I wish. There's more to it than that. Identity is the issue. Who are you? Before you're born again, God says you are separated from Him. And why are you separated from Him? Because you're a sinner. It's not just about the actions or the inactions. It's about the very nature of man. And the very nature of man is that of sin. It's intertwined with us. It says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we were all by nature, that's nature, children of wrath even as others, or in other words, my nature cried out for the wrath of God. That is who I was. That is who we are. That is the identity that we have before we're born again. Identity is an issue. Who are you? You are either one with Him and your identity is changed, or you're not one with Him. Sins are forgiven, salvation and righteousness are received at salvation, but when does that happen? It happens when we submit to the lordship of someone. And who is that we submit to His lordship? It's Jesus. It literally happens when we invite Him to be our Lord. Lordship must be submitted to, and that is the lordship of Jesus. And when that happens, sins are forgiven, salvation and righteousness are received when lordship, the lordship of Jesus, is submitted to. Either there is a genuine change that takes place, or else you're not really right with God. Either there's a genuine change that takes place, or else you're not really right with God. This doesn't mean that all our behavior instantly changes. No, no, no. That will take the help of the Spirit of God and the Word of God working in our lives. But you cannot be saved and still be who you were. Identity is the issue. Either you're His and you're identified with Him and you're changed on the inside, or you're not right with God. And we have a whole lot of people that think they're right with God because they prayed some prayer, because they went to an altar somewhere, and they were never changed. Identity is the issue, and that is an internal thing. So, either there's that genuine change or there's not. Now, we don't clean ourselves up to qualify for heaven and salvation, but we cannot say, "Jesus, you must save me my way. I will not identify with you, Jesus. I will not become what you are or become like you, because my identity is and will always be this." Now, There are people that want eternal life, that want salvation, but they say, I will not change my identity. My identity will remain the same. I will not become something different. And what they have done is they have said, I want life, but I want it my way. And their identity is never changed. We have done a vast disservice to many people by saying, just say this prayer and you'll be all right with God. When they never realized, I am submitting to Him as my Lord, which means His word is the final word. His word is right. His word is true. But rather than that, we've said, just pray this prayer and you'll be okay with God. And we lead them in what we call the sinner's prayer. And we tell them they're all right with God, when there was no genuine change that took place. There was no genuine change that took place. And what they're doing is they're saying, Jesus, I want eternal life. I know that there may be something to this sin thing. I know that there may be something to this hell thing. I know that there may be something to heaven. I want it. I want to avoid. I want to shun hell. I want heaven. But I won't change. My identity will never change because this is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. We'll read verses 9 through 11. It says here, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Wow, that's a bad list. I can understand why God doesn't let them in. Let's keep going, though. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's stop there for a moment. Does that mean God won't save these people? It's not what that says. He says that your identity cannot be this. You cannot say, I will not change. I am going to remain who I am. And there's a whole lot of people living certain lifestyles that say, this is my identity. This is my identity. Jesus, I want eternal life, but I'm not changing my identity. And if their identity is not changed, they are not changed, and they are not headed to heaven. He's not saying these sins will keep you out of heaven. This is not a list of sins that are the unforgivable sin. He's saying this is who you were. Let's back up and read this list again. Sandy, go ahead and begin that in verse 9 again. Let's go back to verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Isn't Sandy doing a great job back there? You don't know how hard that is. I've done that. So he says here, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Then let's go on into the next verse. Nor thieves, nor drunkards, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go into the kingdom of God like this. What he's saying is your identity must be changed, because we go into verse 10, or rather verse 11, and he says, and such were some of you. He says, there are people among you there at Corinth that at one time you were unrighteous, you were fornicators, others were idolaters, others were adulterers. Some of you were homosexuals, some of you were sodomites. Some of you were thieves, some of you were covetous, some of you were drunkards, some of you were revilers. Some of you were extortioners. That's who you were. But God has forgiven you and God has changed you. You see, there's an identity change. And that's the issue that we have with many people is they say, I like my life. I want heaven, but I will not identify as anything other than what I am, as anything other than what I choose. And what they're saying is, save me, but save me as I am. And God can't do that because they are sinners by nature. And the nature is not changed when we say, my identity is this and I will not change. Does this make sense? This is crystal clear to me. I know exactly what I'm saying. I just don't know how I'm getting this across. So he says, such were some of you. Ah, but you were washed. You were sanctified. He talks about sanctified. That means separated from sin, but it also means separated unto God. You've been sanctified. You've been separated from sin, separated unto God. But you were justified, which means it's as if you had never sinned, in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's not saying that the extortioner or the adulterer or the homosexual or the sodomite can't go to heaven. He's saying that their identity must be changed and they must become like Jesus. And he will empower them. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God and Jesus and the Father will empower them to overcome temptation. But they cannot be what they were. It's an identity issue. And if we are identified as this, and I'll be honest with you, your identity cannot be the color of your skin. You say, yeah, you're white. I don't care. If I was black, I'd say the same thing. Your identity cannot be the color of your skin. Your identity must be, I am his and he is mine. I am his and he is mine. I am his and he is mine. I've been made one with him. I am identified in him. That's the identity. It's not about being rich or poor. It's not about any of those things. It's about being identified with him. So then, let's go on and let's go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We have what we call School of the Spirit earlier in the morning, and I mentioned this couple verses here that I'm going to read in that service as well. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 48 and 9, as is the earthly man, the man of dust, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the heavenly man, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the heavenly, the man of heaven. What is our identity? Is our identity merely this, which I was, which I claim to be, or is my identity the man of heaven? I am identified with him. It's more than just about getting a new body someday. And that's how we read this oft times. But it's more than that. This is my identity that we're talking about here. And then in 1 Corinthians, earlier in this chapter, chapter 15, verses 21 and 2, he says, for since it was by man that death came into the world, it is also by man that the resurrection of the dead has come. For just as in Adam, this is the old man, this is the man of dust, just as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. What is your identity? Is your identity him? Are you identified with him? Have you been made one with him? Are you truly his and he is yours? Is that your identity? Because if there was no genuine change, if all you did was pray a prayer and then you thought, I can just struggle through, then there was no genuine change. Oh, but if you were genuinely born again, you were made a new creature, you are no longer just in Adam. Yeah, you still got this body, but now you're in Christ. For just as in Adam all die, so as in Christ all will be made alive. We'll live forever. What's your identity? What's your identity? Is it identified with what I claim as mine? Is it the lifestyle that I choose to live? God will help you to change. But you have to say, God, I want to identify with you, not with this. Not with merely the man of flesh. Not with merely the man of dust, as it puts it here in this section of Scripture. In Christ, all will be made alive. We have life in Him. But what's your identity? Is your identity Him? Is your identity in Him? Have you put on Christ? Are you living in that place of life in Him? Or are you merely living as you choose? Because if you're living as you choose and you were never changed, then you're not headed to heaven. I'm not saying you can't be. I'm saying at this moment, you're not. Again, we've done a major disservice to people by saying, pray this prayer. It's some magic incantation. No. It is a condition of the heart that is given to God and saying, I know I'm a sinner. I can't do anything about it, but Jesus, you did. So make me new in you. And then giving your life to Him, He'll empower you to make changes. Now then, I want to talk for a very brief few minutes here, and then I'll begin wrapping it up, about what is right and what is reality. We've talked about identity. Let's talk for a moment about what is right and what is reality. Because I'm going to tell you, if you live in this world, and if you're, how many of you are breathing right now? If you're breathing right now, you're living in this world. And you have every opportunity to be drawn astray, to be led down the wrong pathway. You're going to have all kinds of temptations that are going to be facing you. You're going to have all kinds of temptations that are going to be facing you. But I want you to understand that God's Word is right, and you're going to have a major conflict between what God says and what the world says. I'm going to tell you, what the world says is in flux. Well, no, it's not. We have come to a point where we're rock solid. I can take you back 10 years and show you the difference between then and now and what they called rock solid then and what they call rock solid now. But the Word of God never changes. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never change. It will never pass away. So it is solid and it will never change. Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right. What God says is holy is holy. And when we say, this is my identity and I will not change it, and God says, no, that identity's wrong. And that identity, you cannot be that. It's your identity. I'm not talking about something that you have done here or there. I'm talking about, this is who I am and I will not change. That's your identity. And if you say, this is my identity, I will not change my identity, you've got to change for me to get to heaven. God says, no, I never change. And His Word never changes. So what He says is, this is true, that's false. And you're hearing a lot of echoes of what is false. You'll hear it, and you'll hear it, and you'll hear it, and then you'll begin to hear it with the children, because it has trickled down from higher ups to those in everyday society. Then it has trickled down into the family, and now it's trickled down into the children. And you're hearing an echo which began out of hell. And you're hearing many things that the devil says are right, and they're not. The book of Isaiah chapter 5 talks about this. Woe to them that call light darkness and darkness light, that put evil for good and good for evil. And that's exactly what the devil does. And he's very good at this. But what God says, the word of the Lord is right. And all of His works are done in truth. Everything He says is correct, and you can rely on it. And it will never, ever change. So if your identity is such that God says that's not good, and it riles you, and you say, I choose this, well, you can choose it. But the end destination is not good. The end destination, it's going to end in hell. And I hate to say that, but there are people that have so identified with a certain lifestyle, that have so identified with a certain way, that have so, they say, I will not change. I will not identify. This is who I am. And God, you got to take me as I am. You're a God of love. He is a God of love. But he is also a God that is holy. And he can't allow unholiness into heaven. So what he says is true. The word of the Lord is right. And all of his works are done in truth. And then, I don't have this in my notes, but in Philippians chapter 4, you don't need to put it up, Sandy. Philippians chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace who, anyway, it talks about him coming and giving you peace. And then he talks about your thinking. And he says, think on these things. And when he says, think on these things, the very first one he says is whatsoever is true. Now, that word, when he uses that word, when he says whatsoever things are true, it that word true, it doesn't just mean true as what we think. That word is opposed to that which is not reality. That which is not reality. In other words, he says, think on what is reality. Well, what is reality? I'm going to tell you. What is reality is what God says. Everything that God speaks is reality. It may not seem like reality right now. It may seem like I don't have any joy. But what did God say? The joy of the Lord is my strength? Yeah. He said, my joy is in you if you're born again. You've got joy. You've got joy. I don't feel like it. My feelings do not determine reality. God's word determines reality. So when God speaks, it is true, number one, and what he says is reality. So if it goes contrary to what you think, you're going to have to deal with it. But I will say this, don't fear that God will make you something that is not good. Even if it conflicts with your present life, your present way of thinking, he's not going to make you into something that's not good. He's not going to make you, into something that you will not go along with him. That's why identity is so important. You must be identified with him. He is always right and good, and he speaks reality, and he knows you completely. And get this. Having seen everything about your past, your present, and knowing your future better than you know your past, he still loves you. That's amazing. He still loves me. And I'm so glad you don't know about all the things that I've done or not done. Don't fear that God will take you someplace that's not good. Let's read the last few verses here that I've got in my notes. Colossians 2 and verse 10. It says here, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. We're talking about being in him. Now, you are complete in him. Now, let's read this out of another translation, and we'll begin in verse 9 with it, and we'll read down through verse 11. Colossians 2, verse 9 says, everything of God gets expressed in him, in Christ. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No. You're already in insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. That's those who are in him. And he says, when you're in him, oh, you've got everything you need. He that is the head over all principality and power, he's your God. In him. In him, in him, in him, in him, or in the man of dust. What's your identity? the in Him, you are a child of God. You are cleansed, clean, and pure, even before the very perfect vision of God Himself, because He calls you so. You have purpose and meaning. You have calling, which are perfectly suited and fitted out for you specifically. You have everything you need for life and godliness. In Him, you are abundantly provided for. In Him, you are healed. In Him, you are wise. In Him, you are complete. I identify with Him. He is my identity. You say you don't have an identity? I still have a personality. I still am who I am. But I am in Him, and He is in me. Salvation and identity. You must be identified with Him, or else you don't have the salvation that He offers. Now then, righteousness is right standing with God. And He wants you to have that more than what you can imagine. But it comes from realizing you're a sinner, realizing you can't save yourself, realizing that Jesus already died on a cross for you, and asking Him to be your Lord, which then means I will give up the identity of this man of flesh and dust, and I will now identify with Him. If you're willing to do that in a moment of time, this is where praying the sinner's prayer comes in. But you've got to understand, you cannot still maintain the identity of something that He says is not right. He loves you. He's made a way for you. But He has said, choose. And we're setting before you, we're setting before the universe, we're setting before the angels, and we're setting before the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, your choice today. It's your choice to make. So I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. Even online, if you're watching online, I would say, if you would identify and say, I need to be born again, I want to be born again, I'm going to ask you, you know you're a sinner, you know He died in your place, and you're going to identify with Him. If that's you, raise your hand. And we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask everybody in this room to pray with me. And if you genuinely mean this, in an instant, you will be changed and you will be identified with Him. So let's pray. Father God, I come to You now in the name of Jesus. And I know that Jesus came, He died in my place, taking my sin upon Him. He rose from the dead to make me right with You. And now I make a choice. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, save me. I receive eternal life now. I'm in You, and You're in me. I'm identified with You, the man from heaven, now. Thank You. In Your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now then, if you did that, in that moment, you were changed. You went from a destiny that is tied to the devil to the destiny that is tied to Jesus the Lord. Oh man, what a change. If you did that, let us know. We want to rejoice with you. God bless you. We'll see you again next week.